This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. Ask a digital signage provider about his target markets, and a hell of a lot of them will list banks among them. But only a small handful of companies are solely focused on the financial services sector. And the best known and most enduring of those is John Ryan. The Minneapolis-based company has been providing branch merchandising and messaging services to the banking sector globally for decades. It's also one of a few companies who can credibly say it was doing digital signage before the technology had a name that stuck. I chatted recently with John Ryan's president, Nancy Rademacher, who has been at the company for more than 20 years. We spoke about John Ryan's roots, but also about what's going on today. Bankers have long been in the midst of what they call digital transformation, but the pandemic has turned five-year plans into five-month executions. We talk about the evolution of retail banking and how digital signage and interactive digital apply. We also speak about what kind of content really does work in banks and why. Nancy has a passion for data-driven content and nerdy stuff like integrating systems. We dig into where she thinks platforms for business like digital signage are going. Hi, Nancy. I know John Ryan pretty well. I'm thinking a number of people maybe don't. So if they don't, can you give kind of the elevator pitch, elevator story about what John Ryan is all about? And we can also get into maybe how things have changed through the years.
Sure. Yeah. So we are historically a retail marketing agency, meaning that our clients are end users operating financial retail establishments. And we take a sort of strategic and all-encompassing approach to retail marketing. And within that portfolio is digital signage. So over the years, digital has become a far more important and central product for us because people have moved a lot of their sort of offline retail experiences into the digital world. And it's from that perspective that we kind of entered the digital signage market.
Yeah, it seems to me I can remember that the first thing I knew about John Ryan is you had a legacy business where you were doing things like handling the compliance of all those brochures that would be in sleeves in bank branches and so on, because somebody had to manage that. Otherwise, the same stuff would be sitting there for years.
That's right. Sometimes that even happens in digital signage. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And when we started in digital signage, it was because we were in the United Kingdom and passed a window of a building society. And there they had a stand. On the bottom of the stand was a giant video disc that was turning. And then above it, there was a screen. And they were making use of a firmware technology where you could actually superimpose changing text on top of a video background supplied by this video disc, which in its day was absolutely remarkable. And so we thought, well, goodness, you know, is there something to this multimedia approach to what we do today? And we began the exploration based on that. And in fact, one of the people involved in that project is still with the company today. The original Building Society project. So,
How long ago was that?
Oh my God! I mean, the early mid '90s. Wow. I can tell you that the word digital signage didn't exist, so we kept trying to find ways to explain what we thought this could be to one another before there was terminology to even apply to it.
Well, I think we're all still struggling to explain what digital signage is to people.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's improved, but. Is the focus entirely on retail banking, or do you kind of service any other sectors?
Opportunistically, we've stepped outside of retail banking. The company initially was focused on chain retail, you know, conventional retail. We moved into retail banking quite early on, and pretty much stay there to this day. So,
And is it just the big whale account banks in North America, or are you working globally and working with banks of all sizes?
Yeah,
and types.
Yeah. We do tend to work with larger banks. The mega global ones, particularly attractive to us, of course. But we work with banks, you know, kind of say regional, super regionals versus community banks. And we've worked in many, many different countries and do today.
Yeah, you have an office in, is it Spain?
London.
London, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You used to have one in Spain, right?
Yeah, we have a presence in Spain, but the real European office is in London.
Right. And when you focus just on retail banking, or primarily focus on retail banking, is that advantageous? I strongly believe that's the case, that if you're going to be in talking to very large companies, you sure as hell better know their business.
Yeah.
But I see all kinds of companies who, you know, will go in and talk to anybody who is willing to take a meeting with them. And I've been in some of these meetings and thought, you guys don't know crap about this industry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think there's probably two reasons why domain expertise is important in banking. One is, you know, I guess the obvious reason, and the one you just referred to, that it's a good thing to understand something about the client's business situation, business challenges, business opportunities, so that you can help them in relevant ways. But banking, I think, imposes a second criteria, which is a very particular approach to security, as you can well imagine, and as we would all hope to be the case.
Why?
Yeah, exactly. What on earth do they have that anyone needs? So that, you know, has implications as to how the system is engineered, and it has implications about how data moves. And there's a high demand also for flexibility in engineering, which maybe you wouldn't expect, but banks maybe differ in how they approach their security regime. Mm-hmm. And so we've, over the years, had to be careful not to be too prescriptive, you know, in how data is transferred, what kind of media player hardware is used, because they have very specific ideas about that. So I think financial services is one where you actually really do need to understand the industry to thrive in it.
When you're in these kinds of meetings, is it more the case, maybe with a retailer, a pure retailer, you're talking about what the system will do for you, and mm-hmm. with the bank, are you talking about what you can stop the system from doing or prevent it from happening?
Yeah, that's right. That's a very, very good point. But it's also true, you know, the other thing that's interesting in what you just said is, I think as an industry, I'm always surprised a little bit about how much of the literature that's published by digital signage companies, possibly even us, focuses on the benefits of digital signage and the sort of, you know, basic understanding. And mm-hmm. I feel like banking, probably like a lot of other verticals, really understands that. You know, they know why somebody would do digital signage. And the conversation is no longer, you know, at that level. Why would this benefit you? No.
My eyes roll up into the back of my head when I go on a software company site and see the old chestnut of what is digital signage.
Exactly.
Oh God. It's 2020, guys.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, the questions about business case, ROI, I think those have all been kind of answered for the industry. So
we were talking earlier about digital transformation and how COVID-19 has forced very rapid acceleration of digital transformation plans. Mm-hmm. And you were talking in terms of it going from like 3 to 5 year digital transformation plans to things that had to happen in a matter of months or even weeks instead.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I was just looking at some more industry literature yesterday. You know, in the banking industry, they've all been pretty clear on the shape of things to come in terms of increasing levels of digital adoption on the part of, you know, bank consumers. Mm-hmm. And with that has come, you know, a general understanding that as time goes on, the number of branches will decline, the nature of the activities that takes place in those branches will move from transactional and cash-based activity toward consulting activity. And by and large, that was something that the industry really wanted to see happen because it changes their cost dynamics quite considerably for the good, obviously. So what's happened now is that there's been this really rapid acceleration of what everybody knew was going to happen anyway. And in a certain sense, that's kind of welcome news for the industry. It's accelerating something that was desired. On the other hand, at this level, at this speed, I think it's given people a lot of challenges in the very, very near term.
So what's transforming in a retail bank?
Well, you know, strategically, what's transforming is when and why customers are going to want a physical location. So it's, as I said a moment ago, it's really going to be far more an advice and guidance proposition than a transactional proposition. Mm-hmm. But in the near term, what's transforming is the manner in which that advice and guidance proposition is delivered. So when your lobbies are not open all the time, when people don't have free access, that's kind of creating all sorts of logistical complexities about, you know, how do you let people in the branch? How do you manage appointment traffic? Nobody envisioned that they would have to kind of answer all these questions all of a sudden in one big hurry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that has an impact on digital signage, of course, because, you know, anything that is, you know, it provides an opportunity actually to use digital signage to convey to customers new policies, obviously hours. There are opportunities to manage customer check-in and flow using digital tools. The screens can be an important part of conveying who, you know, where you stand in the queue and what's going on in the branch. So, In some senses, this is making digital signage a more integral part of a successful branch operation, which is good. Mm-hmm. It's more than just a communications tool. And there are other examples of that. I think increasingly people are going to embed digital experiences in the onboarding process. You know, we've all seen these bankers clickety-clacketing away on their computer terminals when we're opening an account. You know, some banks now turn that screen toward the customer when they're clickety-clacketing. But I think eventually it will be a full-on multimedia onboarding experience. You know, so seminars on financial wellness are all sorts of things that are going to happen as the branch becomes more of a center for health and guidance than a teller counter.
Yeah, my you know, I go to a particular bank and it's just a suburban location, so it's not, there's not a lot of razzle dazzle there, but it does have digital signage and it's the same bank I've been banking with for 30 plus years or whatever. So I don't see a lot of other ones, but there seems to be a standard feature set that I noticed there and in other banks in general, where there's displays behind the counter and there's display in a seating area, and maybe there's a display over the ATM bank, but it's generally just being branch marketing. You know, we're wonderful. You know, we have this new thing. Here's the weather, blah, blah, blah. And it's not being terribly compelling. And when I've seen banks of the future in North America and particularly in places like Dubai, I've seen things like virtual tellers and remote financial service advisors who, you know, you go into a little pod and you can discuss with somebody who's, you know, on the other side of the city or country. And those things have been very branch of the future-y sort of things that I've never seen adopted, but I'm getting a sense from what you're saying that the novelty of that will become much more an operational thing out of necessity.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, there are a lot of things in what you just said that interest me. You know, to your first comment about the placement of screens inside a bank, you're absolutely right. I mean, where you would typically see them is the areas you described. What's happening now as banks are moving more toward like a sort of almost a lounge conception of the branch where where the bankers are now untethered from their desktops and maybe can help you with an iPad and in a sort of a roving fashion. Mm-hmm. It really confuses the problem of where to place your digital media, because now suddenly everybody is milling around in a kind of uncontrolled environment. And there aren't obvious focal points, dwell areas, sight lines like there always were in the past, which is a challenge. But then, you know, on the level of the content and just sort of compelling experiences, one of the things that we've learned over the years through many, 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 many different experiments and trials and tests is that it's really important when you're thinking about innovative change to a bank branch that you don't lose sight of the fact that the consumer is seeking utility above all else. So if you have a really cool idea for a touchscreen, and I think we've all seen many of these in branches of the future, it might be cool from the perspective of the multimedia designer who gets to create it and win an award for it. But it's a real challenge to get banking consumers to decide they want to prolong a visit to their local bank branch in order to interact with content that most people intuitively believe is available to them at home anyway. So it's tough to kind of rein in the impulse to kind of, I don't know, saddle a bank branch with all sorts of 'cause you can stuff without thinking long and hard about what customer utility is being imparted. So the example you gave of the video conference is a perfect example of a high utility, high value digital investment in a bank branch. And there are all sorts of reasons why doing something like that are valuable to both customers and to the bank versus some of the, you know, multimedia poster children that we've probably been seeing.
Yeah, let's do something with Connect and gesture and all that and embarrass the hell out of people.
Although you had on your podcast just this week, I think, an article about one that made sense, but kind of proves the point, I guess.
Probably a $2 million pop-up event by IBM. So well, that's the norm. That's what everybody's going to do.
Yeah.
But it was good. what is the content based on all those years of experience that people do want, that customers do want in a branch?
Well, I mean, this is interesting too. And actually, this is my favorite topic, really. So one thing we've learned, and this will come as no surprise to you or to anybody, is that financial services advertising on its own is not that compelling for people. And so there's a very good reason to use sort of general interest communications in a bank branch as a way to get people used to viewing the screens at all. So you mentioned weather before. Mm-hmm. In our testing and results, time and time again, weather comes up as the thing that people remember most and want the most. And it also happens to be very easy to deliver, as you know. So if you can mix and match general interest information with bank information or place bank information in a more general interest context, an example of that might be, you know, if there's something happening in the mortgage market, tying your mortgage messaging to something that consumers are generally aware of and concerned about is a good thing. We've also seen some kind of interesting results that would suggest that if the ratio of bank messaging is a little bit lower than you might initially think you want, the recall of those messages goes up. And I think that's because there's more sustained viewership of the general interest information. You know, people are more fixed, their attention is more fixed and focused. And for that reason, the bank messaging that crops up intermittently gets more attention and more recall, which is really interesting.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
In my exposure to banks, I've certainly got a sense that they're very excited. The branch market or the bank marketers are excited about being able to have some continuity between online and broadcasts and other mediums and push that same campaign into the branches. But you're saying that at that point, they're in the branch and they don't need to be kind of sold and drawn into the branch because you got them.
Yeah. And you know, you can reinforce the value of your brand by providing helpful tips. There's a huge demand for financial wellness information right now, too. Not just because of recent events, which has accelerated it, but also because a lot of younger consumers actually don't know much about money management and want to. So that kind of helpful guidance information is also something people like to see. Another thing that people really, really like, believe it or not, is to see pictures and names of people who actually work in the branch. That is always a highly recalled type of messaging. But, you know, just casting back to something you just said about content created for other media, I think where this is all headed in terms of digital signage content production and banking is toward more and more repurposing assets that were created for other digital channels and stringing those repurposed assets together into a sort of constantly updating, constantly iterating news and information stream that is less of a purposeful agency endeavor where somebody's building a 60-second MP4 and more of a, you know, kind of rethinking it more as a large format web stream or something like that. I don't know exactly the right metaphor. But I think banks will find that they don't have to spend a lot of money on content production to have a lot of really good, locally relevant information on screens in their branches. I see that
yeah. run. That sends me back to work I did with a very large bank, and I sat at a meeting where we were talking about content with the agency, and I became persona non grata, the devil, the antichrist, by suggesting that what was the point of a 60-second spot in a window display that was going to cost one hell of a lot of money when you could be repurposing all kinds of other media assets and automating the content. And that did not go over well with the agency, because that was, you know, their cash cow.
Exactly. It is interesting, because I was thinking about just this earlier this week, that this is one of those rare instances where to do it better is also a way to do it cheaper. It's not like you're giving up anything. You're gaining something when you start thinking about digital signage content and in a more disaggregated way, you know, just snippets of bursts of information using, static assets, even that you have in, you know, for our clients have huge repositories of assets and tips and, you know, all of these things are available aplenty inside a bank's asset management database. And so mixing and matching these things creates a really low cost way to build content, but also superior content, which is just such a great thing.
Yeah, I assume that bank marketers are pretty savvy and understand this whole concept of omnichannel more so than, let's say, quote unquote, regular retailers or all kinds of other potential clients, in that they have these digital asset management systems and everything else, and they understand. Exactly. Do they understand automated and dynamic content based on data assets?
I think they do in all of their online applications. Mm-hmm. But I think that they, you know, it seems to me that they are generally puzzled by why they can't somehow better leverage their online assets to digital screens. And I suppose that's because maybe we in the industry have not rapidly embraced that model, or, you know, educated the market to the model that actually, no, it is a logical thought to think that those other assets can be repurposed to digital signage. But you don't see a lot of it happening, right? So maybe the digital signage industry too has been a little bit in the paradigm of the agency that wasn't so happy with you, you know, creating longer form content purpose built for this media versus looking at an alternative way of doing it.
Yeah, well, you get the sense that even regionally sized and certainly national and international banks, they are in the thrall of probably multiple agencies who it's in their express interest to control the thinking, really, and certainly the budgets of these bank marketers. So, you know, there's no incentive for them to say, hey, you don't need to do all this really expensive stuff. Just do it this way and we'll surrender that $5 million.
Exactly. But I'll tell you what, I think with declining levels of traffic in branches and the general stressors that banks are facing now in terms of justifying marketing investment at the point of sale, that's going to prompt a change.
One of the things that gets batted around a lot these days is the whole idea of interactive in a bank setting and other retail settings. Is it safe to touch things? And banks have ATMs. They, you know, there's just no way around You know, you can't do voice controlled ATMs. At least I don't think you can, or I wouldn't want to use it. so there, you go into a bank, you're already conditioned that, yeah, I'm going to use a touch screen and I'll whip out my hand sanitizer and everything will be fine. Is there antsiness at all around introducing more interactivity to reduce the one-to-one contacts with staffers?
For sure. I mean, I'm hearing a lot of focus on touchless experiences. And so trying to figure out how to clone interfaces to people's personal devices or bypass the need for them. I think that's a huge, huge issue the industry is trying to address because, you know, you mentioned earlier video tellers, video conference. These things are really important to the branch of the future because they become the only kind of financially viable way to deliver certain services to certain branches in the network. So they're essential to the value proposition and will only become more essential. So yes, I think there's a lot of work being done and a lot of time being spent on how to make those interfaces appealing and acceptable to people in some of the ways I described. I think on the level of our business, digital signage, you know, thinking back on the concept of utility, touchscreens in general for marketing purposes have been very, very difficult to implement successfully. I mean, you've probably seen Microsoft, like those Surface tables in bank branches. They came in and they went away. Interactive kiosks came in and then they went away. We've done a lot of things with touch through bank windows. We've done QR codes. We've done scannable brochures that launch interactive experiences, printing brochure on demand. And all of them face the same challenge that they require a customer to prolong their visit in a bank branch, and they're not delivering a really clear apparent utility. So just at the level of the basics, the tougher problem with all that, I think, is not just managing people's concerns about hygiene today, but just the use of it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not as private is going on a touchscreen to look up some health issue, but you know, if you're going to be doing loan calculators and mortgage calculators and things like that on a screen that other people can see, I don't know if it would bother me all that much, but I'm sure a whole bunch of other people would be, you know, very concerned about anybody seeing that.
Well, it's not just that, but you also likely have in your hand a device that does exactly the same thing, you know, so you can use your phone to do these things when and where you want to do them versus standing at a kiosk. So it's an interesting challenge.
Mm-hmm. In terms of banks, you focused on retail banking, but there's a whole bunch of bank office space and giant office towers full of banking people.
Yeah.
And even with work from home, you know, that's not going to totally change. Those office towers are not going to clear out. Have you guys done much work in terms of kind of back of house digital signage for banks?
Yeah, well, that is actually how we got our start. Our first network was a 900 branch. It was in the UK. A 900 branch staff training network delivered by satellite because that's all there was. daily kind of huddle and corporate communications. So we've done a lot of that, more focused on the branch than in the corporate headquarters. But the technology, as you know well, that would drive one versus the other is exactly the same.
And is it hard to crack the larger opportunity with on the back of house side?
I think it didn't used to be, but you know, we got our start prior to things like the internet and email and podcasts and websites. All of those become really viable corporate communications vehicles for the sort of information that we were imparting through our digital networks. Mm-hmm. So, the case needs to be made that multimedia delivery of some of these messages is a superior form for those messages than, you know, plowing through an intranet. And right. I think that case can be made, but given all the other things that banks have to contend with in their overall digital transformation, I don't think that's going to make the top of the heap.
Right. I know that you've spent a lot of time thinking about where all of this goes, and you have the benefit, so to speak, of working in an already demanding vertical where the IT and security demands are a lot mm-hmm. higher. Where do you see things going? Or do things like PCs and media players and all that start to go away?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, there's a move afoot in the world around us toward edge solutions, and there's no reason to think that digital signage wouldn't be an edge compute solution. What we hear from corporate customers a lot is that they're very frustrated by the proliferation of point solutions in their branches. So, you know, they'll have a solution for digital signage. They'll have a solution for POS terminals. They've got a solution mm-hmm. for managing appointments, and on and on and on and on. And each of these solutions is sort of vertically integrated. It contains a monitoring component. There's a service plan that they have to have with somebody for it. And this kind of really adds up into a lot of complexity. So this future of bringing these disparate point solutions together in a sort of commonly managed edge environment, I think is very real. And the sort of streamlining that clients that we deal with would really like to see. So I think those of us that provide digital signage solutions, you know, should be hunkering down and really focusing on our right. software kernel and imagining that it might be deployed in a manner like that in the future.
So this is a couple of steps beyond the recent and prevalent question of, do you have an API?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
So a few months ago now, I think it is, you guys were acquired by AU Optronics out of Taiwan.
Yep.
A company that had already acquired Comkey, which does retail digital signage. How is that going? I mean, I know the AUO people, and they're from Taiwan, so they're super nice and super right. smart and all that. I assume this was a good event for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we remain a very entrepreneurial, agile company, as John Ryan. You know, we've been we're operated pretty much autonomously from the other units in the group. So from a day-to-day mm-hmm. experience, you know, it's actually just the same. But on top of that is something very, very nice, which is a huge, huge resource of engineering. In the number of patents, I think they have 29,000 patents. You know, mm-hmm. it's hard to say, there's a lot of people that can answer tough questions within that company. Access and understanding of the really detailed aspects of display technology, both now and in the future. I mean, it is really, it's really a great thing to have that sort of resource available to us. And obviously, an incredibly strong financial group as well. So that opens up opportunities for, you know, subscription-based deals with clients and, you know, all manner of things. So mm-hmm. it's been going well.
Yeah, I mean, there have been instances in the past of hardware companies, display companies buying software companies, and you just know, oh boy,
yeah,
this is just going to meander into nothing, and that's what happened. But I've certainly got the sense from Stu Armstrong, who's now over working with you guys, came from Comkey, that the Comkey experience was just that they, you know, they certainly mentored them and had their back and everything else, but kind of left them alone to do what they needed to do.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the interesting part of that might be that in some of these acquisitions where hardware companies buy digital signage companies, they might be viewing those digital signage companies as routes to market for their hardware. In this case, I think it's almost the reverse, where AUO was interested in closer to the customer, more solutions-oriented businesses in order to provide feedback to it about where the industry is going. And so that's a great role for us to play. We're obviously interacting with people every day on the level of their business challenges, and we have good and meaningful insight, I think, for them. So it's a good, you know, two-way traffic, and this and you know, AUO is, as you know, supplies some display panels, but they're also a supplier to the other manufacturers who produce, you know, digital signage displays and other displays. And so there is no agenda that our goal is to sell, you know, AUO products in particular, only when they fit the solution.
Right. But it does give the opportunity, if you're looking at a bank deal that's 1,100 branches and 10,000 screens or whatever, that you don't necessarily have to buy from a consumer or commercial brand. You can go direct to a manufacturer and cut some of that cost out, which is going to be attractive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the affordability is really going to be a very big factor of our business going forward.
Going
on right now. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how people reformulate their offers and streamline them. You know, we talked about content earlier. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in that sort of content approach now when it really isn't the luxury to do it any other way. So, And that's going to affect every aspect of our business. We've been spending a lot of time over this summer looking, kind of reinventing digital signage. There's some stuff that we're going to be putting out in the weeks and months to come, but like not taking anything as a given, right? Let's look at the hardware. Let's look at the connectivity. Let's look at how content is created. Let's look at how maintenance is done. And just across the board, trying to emerge from all of this with a really streamlined, focused approach.
All right. That was great. Thank you for spending some time with me.
Well, it was nice to catch up. Thanks.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.